The Giants messed themselves up because they had the soft part of their schedule and they just completely just wasted it. The Marlins, White Sox, Diamondbacks, three series right there that you, I think it was a three-gamer and a four-gamer. So you're looking at 10 games. I mean, that had to be, that had to be like go 7-3, 8-2 in that stretch. And I think they went 4-6. Might have went 3-7. Yeah, they got swept by the Marlins, lost 2 of 3 to the White Sox, and then they split with the Diamondbacks. That's just awful. 3 of 7 and 3-7 in that 10-game stretch is brutal.
Yeah, that
well, then two, you throw the A's on there too. I guess you could throw that.
So, and that's what the 2 out of 3 wasn't good enough.
I mean, it was okay. Like I said, you gained a game in the West. I'm not really looking at the West right now. I'm directing my attention towards the wild card. And I think you are in the lead for that final wild card spot, a half game ahead of the Padres. I think they're a full game ahead of the Cardinals. Might be 2.5 ahead of the Reds. And that's kind of where I've turned my attention. So, you know, just get into the postseason. And really with the Giants and their situation, I'm not saying this is championship or nothing like that, but the way those all-stars that they have are pitching, when you talk about Logan Webb, when you talk about Robbie Ray, when you talk about Randy Rodriguez, who is one of the top bullpen pitchers in the game, relief pitchers in the game today. If you can just get into a series, if you can get into a series and you're throwing out Logan Webb and Ray in 4 of the 5 games, you know, in a 5-game series potentially, or if you get into the 7-game series and you're throwing out those two, and then, you know, who knows, steps up in the other games. Okay. I'm wanting to see what that looks like. So, their killer right now is they blew that 10-game stretch. Well, I guess it was I keep saying 10. I guess it was a 13-game stretch where they ended up going 5-11 or something like that. I don't even know if that's 13 games, but you get what I'm saying. The A's are part of that, and they took 2 out of 3 to keep them above water, but yeah.
Let's see what Leezy talking about here, 916-909-1320. Leezy, what's happening, baby?
Yo, D-Lo and KC, what's up, guys?
What's up, Leezy? How you doing, man?
Good. Hey, I don't know nothing about baseball. I was calling about basketball, bro. Hey, KC, D-Lo. Hey, guys, quick question. I know I'm kind of late to the topic, but who do you guys think has the higher ceiling next season, Nick Clifford or Devin Carter? And I don't even care if Devin Carter's on the Warriors. Just because you're on the Warriors don't make you good. You can ask D'Angelo Russell about that and other players. But I was just really curious, who do you guys think will be better going forward? Because we've seen a little bit of Carter, but it hasn't been that amazing. And the highlights I've seen of Nick is good, but it's different when you actually go out there with the pros, you know?
Yeah, it's tough for me to say without seeing Nick in any type of professional setting. I'm not sure. If you really wanted to ask the question, Leezy, you should have threw my boy Maxine Renault on that. I would have said Maxine has the higher ceiling of all three of those guys. But, you know, I do want to stay consistent. I'm not super sold on Devin Carter. I'm willing to include him in a trade, really in a heartbeat. But I'm also going to give him a little grace for the rookie season he had last year. And if he's with the Kings or anybody else and has an opportunity to have a full training camp, have a summer league, ease his way into the rotation, maybe he looks a little different. So before I completely write him off, I would give him that opportunity. If I was somebody in the NBA, once again, if I'm the Kings, I'm moving him to get Jonathan Kuminga. Like, that's just what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
But
I'll say this. I hope you're right about Devin Carter. I give young players a lot of grace. For some reason, I've given Devin very little.
And it was, I think, the opening night fit.
That's a big part of it. It's a big part of it. It really, I think, is my frustration with Monty McNair and that front office, in that this organization need, like, even no matter what you thought of DeMar, and that signing in the moment. If you were super high on it, if you were sketchy about it, whatever it was, like, you knew you needed a player. Like, you needed a guy. You needed a draft pick to play for you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Devin not being available, like, that was frustrating. Mm-hmm. And then it, you know, when the season starts and it's kind of going the way that it's going, and you're like, man, it would have been nice to have a, you know, a young ball player here to kind of help this group. And then you look around and you see the way that some other players in the league are playing who were drafted after him. And now you're throwing your hands up like, this is same old King stuff right here. Mm-hmm. So and then you have the Trista story, right? So maybe it's like, I'm just not really feeling Devin, yeah, but haven't given his game a fair evaluation. He was obviously terrible before going to the G League, but we said this, and I feel like we were pretty consistent with it. Like, he was put in a brutal spot. It wasn't his fault.
Right.
He was drafted on a team that needed him to play that stunk far worse than they should have. So when he finally got healthy, they really needed his ass to play. Mm-hmm. And before he ever steps on the court, his coach is fired. So he was as much as we talk about the situations that the Sacramento Kings were in, and, you know, Domas and Doug and you know, all of these different guys, because of a variety of different things, Devin, truth be told, might have had it worse than anybody. Mm-hmm. And I should give him a lot more leeway than that. So if nothing comes about with Jonathan Kuminga or anyone else, if you saw something in him at the end of the season, I know there were moments where we were like, okay, he's a little something. Okay, I get it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to need him to be – he needs to be good. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a guy who could, if he elevates a little bit, even if you want to call this a true rookie season for him, he's a guy who could elevate this team a little bit. Mm-hmm. But – that position is a problem right now.
Yeah, big time. Big time. Yeah, the only good moment of the play-in.
Well, he did.
He
actually had the very last moment in the play-in.
He did, man. So, we'll see what happens with Devin here or somewhere else. We were talking about baseball, and it reminded me, because we probably won't get back to this. I do want to answer what TC was talking about earlier when he asked about Lawrence Butler of the A's. I do feel like, and this, maybe this is unfair, I feel like Lawrence, who I was really high on as a player, mm-hmm, coming into the season, has been affected by everything that's going on here in Sacramento. I don't know if the most is Severino, so it's not the most, but has been affected. And I'm falling short of saying he's pouted about it. Like, he's been the one that's always reminded people publicly, like, yeah, it's not a big league stadium, so da 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 da. And his performance hasn't been nearly what I thought it would be. And I don't know. I just feel like he's left a little to be desired. And I felt like he pouted a little bit since being in Sacramento, and disappointed in seeing that from him. I was watching this game yesterday when I was at the game, and, like, I understand it's not the best situation for the game. It's a Triple A ballpark. Like, you can't – I've said that a number of different times. You can't get around that. Nobody ever – it's a Triple A ballpark. But the other team out there playing too.
Mm-hmm.
And they beat your ass every time they come here. So something works for them. Something works for them. What are we doing if we're Severino or Lawrence Butler or anybody else out here complaining? What is that going to do for you? You're still in the major leagues. You've got a record. You've got stats, all this other stuff. Go out there and play. Play. Try to do what's best to get a W. Nobody wants to hear about you crying all the time. I know they've got a lot of the lackeys and, you know, media people in the Bay Area and the Ben Rosses and Susan Slessers and AJ Przinskis, who are all like, oh, it's so sad. What's going on? This is like, yeah, I get it. Cool. Whatever. They still got a game to play. They got to win. Stop the crying and produce. Severino, you so worried about what's going on here in Sacramento. Why don't you pitch better? Why don't you just be better? How about that? Instead of crying and complaining, they ain't getting you nowhere. So I feel like Lawrence Butler is falling into that a little bit this year here in Sacramento. So I don't know. I was thinking about this yesterday, also leaving the ballpark. I was like, it's pretty cool, man. Major League Baseball mm-hmm. here. Like, this is pretty dope. Mm-hmm. You know, you take, I took a walk over to Tower Bridge to get back to the car and all this other stuff. Like, this is pretty dope. The one thing I'll say, and I don't know if they can fix it, but if the A's were to stay here for a long time, if they were to get a team and they had to be at that ballpark for a little bit, I think they should try to find a way to get these clubhouses in the dugout. Having to walk across the field.
Yeah.
At that, like, this might have been a rush job, so they might not have had time. Maybe that's all it was. Maybe they can do it, and they just didn't have the time to do it mm-hmm. for this season. But if they can do it, they should definitely do that this offseason, having the clubhouses connected to the dugout. Because that's probably the one thing that I see that I'm like, yeah, they kind of skimped a little bit on that. Get those clubhouses by the dugout. Other than that, it's a professional ballpark. Be better.
Yeah, the conversation surrounding that is tired, but I don't like. I love what you just laid out right there. The other team's professionals too. Like, they play also. Mm-hmm. They're playing on the same field. I hate that that's the conversation all the time, but I don't play on it. Mm-hmm. Like, if we was in here and, you know, the wake up call had this big glorious studio and Abe and them and Paul over at 98 Rock had this big glorious studio and we was operating with, you know, headphone microphones and, you know, a 1980 system, I might feel a certain way about it. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't tell, you know, if Paul had to come in here and do a show, like, I wouldn't tell him to feel any certain, like I get it. Mm-hmm. And those are the guys that play. It's just, if that's affecting you on a day-to-day basis, man, that's tough. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to find a way to get over it. You've got an entire season to play.
100%.
You can live in misery if you want to, but.
And to your analogy, because we have all this stuff, like, we, you know, we complain about it and the show isn't good. Well, the wake up call comes in here and does the same show in the same studio and kills it.
Yeah.
Why can they come in and play well and you can't?
Yeah, right.
Because you're too busy feeling sorry for yourself. They're
hitting 470 foot home runs. I had to read that tweet. How long was that home? 471 feet that Denzel hit?
Oh, yeah. That was. I don't know. I got to see that one again. Because that one didn't.
I saw a 402 foot home run.
That was 502.
Like, I was like, what the hell is 471 feet? Oh my God!
And I'm checking the Carfax because Tatis's homer still looked further than that. And Nick Kurtz's game-winning home run.
Yep.
That was a bomb in the right field. That's a long ways. Sitting hitting that lawn like that. That's a long way. So I'm checking the Carfax. Shout out to my boy Denzel though.
That was a monster. We'll come back. I want to tell you about my experience at a baseball stadium.
D'Lo Gammons we return.
It turns out I'm a big baseball guy here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Get in on the phone lines if you'd like to. 916-909-1320. Spent the weekend in Seattle. 4th of July, we went to watch the Mariners and the Pirates play. T-Mobile Park is beautiful. Just like the rest of the city, man. T-Mobile Park is an amazing place. And we walked in a little bit late, as we do, but thankfully not too late, because the second the field gets in sight, Cal Raleigh hits a 400 some odd foot shot to the upper deck of T-Mobile Park. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I think that was like 34. 4 on the season.
Yeah. Around there.
And then comes back 2 at-bats later with the crowd chanting MVP and hits 35. Mm. I think there were 4 home runs hit in that game. That's a one. That's a great crowd. Fun stadium. Not a bad little team either.
No,
but
no.
Man, yeah, that T-Mobile Park is spectacular.
It looks fantastic.
Big baseball guy.
I'm glad the roof.
You
is
got
open
Cal Raleigh, Casey's got Judge, and I'll take Ohtani. We all got our players.
If we
now.
Had Betts no. anymore. We could. We
well,
don't
Damian
have
blew them all to hell.
Wait a minute, what did I do?
Every time we bring up the belt, you're like, this is stupid.
Well, it's because you bring up the belt once every 6 months.
Bring it up when it's topical. Hey, who's got who? Hey, really? The stupid belts? Mine's trashed.
The Alundra Blaze belt.
Oh, man.
In the group text over the weekend, I joked that he was better than Ohtani. He's not when you talk about Cal Raleigh. I still do think Aaron Judge is the best player in baseball, though. Ohtani pitched 2-3 innings the other day.
Honestly, I didn't see it.
I think he did 2 or 3 innings. He's working his way back. They got swept over the weekend, though, so that was good to see. Good stuff.
Oh, yeah. Hey, someone get Oral Hershiser, please. Did you see that?
Oh, I did.
Hey. No, wait, what?
You didn't see?
Oh, the Ash, the wow. He was the one on the broadcast?
I'm pretty sure it was, I saw Oral Hershiser get a tribute to that. It's almost like they know what's coming. Dude, really? Have some self-respect.
What'd he say? I don't want to open up a can of worms, or I don't want to.
Oh,
really? I didn't know that was Hershiser on the call.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
So great.
Beat their ass. They're I hate the phrase rent-free, but yeah, the Astros are absolutely rent-free in Dodgers fans and the organization's head. There was something else. Oh. Well, I mean, it's not the biggest deal in the world to me. I ain't really tripping. But did you tap into to Fox Fox
no.
40 yesterday?
Oh.
Big time,
so.
Big time game yesterday, man. Big time game. Shout out Jesse. You know, Mexico wins the Gold Cup, but I was tapped in. Anytime you get USA,
I think
Mexico
I saw
soccer,
Jesse bitching about this.
Oh, Jesse
on,
was. This was.
Whoa. There was no bitching. There was only truth telling.
This was the most I've seen Jesse.
When I saw Man City US fan reply, I was like, "Oh Lord, what is going on here? Oh, no.
I claim the U.S. has no fans. He claims it's because the tickets are too much money.
Yeah. That's
it. Well, it doesn't. It doesn't help. And
that man
I'm
has
not,
traveled to other countries to watch soccer matches.
I'm not trying to make it no type of way. But it doesn't help that it seems that they always play them in Los Angeles or Texas. That's not a short travel for anybody that, you know, wants to go see the, like Mexico fans, they want to go see the game. Like, it's right there.
Yeah, but like the US doesn't even fill up the MLS stadiums when they play the lesser teams and all that. Like they just I don't know, maybe it is the ticket prices, but for however long, for decades, how come no one's coming to the games?
I don't think
they have too many fans.
I don't think that's anything they're gonna win no matter where they play. They played in Texas or Minnesota.
Well, I'm just saying there's times where they're not playing Mexico where they just don't. It's just they don't fill stadiums.
No.
Mm. Even the little ones.
No. Look.
Is it because they're not good?
I think that has a lot to do with it.
Because
love. Mexico's not great either, but like they're only as good as they can be for their little confederation that they play in there. But like it's your national team.
But yeah. I feel
they
like
because they show up for the women's team.
Well, that's what I mean, because the women's team is good.
Yeah, well... Yeah.
Like America has an inferiority complex. Like we're not good at this, so I'm not going to support it.
I guess, but maybe that
I mean, but then how would you describe the discrepancy between men's soccer and women's soccer? One team is good and has been, the other team is not and hasn't.
I would say you're right. I agree with you. I think that has a lot to do with it. But I would also say, and I'm guilty of it. I am just your casual sports fan, you know, in this situation, I'm not really paying attention to that team, whether they're good or not, unless something's on the line, either the Gold Cup or the World Cup. That's it. I'm not the Bob Hope cup. I'm not paying. I don't know nothing about that. I know the Gold Cup means something. I know the obviously the World Cup means something. Anything that isn't those two, I'm not tapped in to go see them.
Yeah, I think that's just most fans in general here, which is not a problem. It's just all I was saying.
But like to your point, like if let's just because they're here, if Mexico played a friendly, not even against USA, against Canada, at we'll just say back in Houston.
Yeah,
they tapped in because it doesn't matter if it's a friendly or a cup game. They're gonna tap in to see those guys, right?
Yeah, always.
Yeah, so that's I think it's real situational here in America with that team. Whether they're like even if they were good, like I still wouldn't be tripping on no friendly. I would be only watching if it was the Gold Cup or the World Cup. I'm tapped in though. Like I'm ready for the World Cup though. And USA, well, what they were able to do in this Gold Cup, I don't know who wasn't there or who might be there for the World Cup.
That's the thing. They didn't have a lot of their top players there. It seems like a lot of top players don't like each other, or it seems like the vibes aren't great there.
Well, they need to get over it. Or these young boys might handle business. These young boys might put y'all on the sideline. I'm tapped in for the World Cup, though. Like, this got me, it's what, like less than a year before that?
Next summer.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready. I want to see what Team USA has. I was on the fence whether or not, you know, I was going to be really hyped, but they got some Brodies on there. You know, I saw some of the guys on there. I was like, oh, I like him. I like his style. Tillman. I like Tillman. So, tapped in. Let's go.
Oh, we're getting hyped. Oh, I'm sorry. I just thought we were at now we're getting hyped.
I just hope y'all make it out the group.
Is the group it's already set, right? They've already announced it?
No, that'll be like next. There's still teams needing to qualify and stuff.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, hopefully they get an easy group.
Maybe Polo says D'Lo and Casey live from the World Cup, live from Levi's Stadium.
What would an easy group even look like for the United States?
Didn't they have one last time?
I don't even remember who was
in. And didn't they lose?
No, I think they made it to
2018. They missed out. 2022, they were back.
They made it to the knockout round, right?
I think so.
I think, yeah. A great moment. The only great moment that I could ever think of, which was really a dope moment. Like, if you go to YouTube, they'll have, like, the compilation of crowd reactions, was the Landon Donovan moment. I think that was 2010
against Algeria.
Yeah, we're in. I think it was like extra time.
Yeah, that was
the best U.S. soccer moment. Men's U.S. soccer.
That's kind of where
ever.
It blew up. I feel like, like we're like, all right, people were starting to tap in even more.
Yeah,
because before that, it wasn't really.
That was a really dope moment. That was a dope moment. That's the greatest men's soccer moment I've ever seen. But you know, with the fact that it is also here in America, it's been 30. It's going to be 32 years.
Okay.
It's 94.
Yeah, 32 years.
All right.
Oh.
Since it was in America. I think that it's going to be dope.
Well, hopefully no running back does anything crazy and winds up in a Bronco chase like what happened the last time.
Gee,
it was here.
All right. Who wants to take their picks right now? Who's the next OJ next year?
Oh, no. No.
What, you don't want to play that game?
No.
Oh,
no.
Well, look, it's not.
Emphatically, no.
No, I ain't going to do it. I ain't even going to say it. I have a name, too. I ain't going to say it.
Text it.
I ain't going to say it.
Text it.
All right, put down your odds for the next.
Oh, man.
He's not a running back.
Oh, oh, Jesus Christ. He damn near there already.
I know, bro.
He damn near there already.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Y'all figure that out on your own. Y'all already see.
Y'all to know in particular, Jose's always a funny one in the chatty house.
Just look for those that just look in the chat. We still got plausible deniability right now. Just look in the chat.
Oh, what'd you do today, work, babe? Oh, no, just predicting the next OJ Simpson.
God, that's terrible.
Overwhelming odds right now
just
in the chatty
terrible.
House. Yeah, hopefully not. And Cal Raleigh will be it number 40 on the day the
Mike Brown and the Knicks will be in game 7 of the finals.
Tiger Woods closing out his final.
Can't even make the cut.
By the way, for those that don't get the reference, ESPN did a wonderful documentary on a single day
June 17th,
1994, where the World Cup opened in the United States. The Bronco chase happened with O.J. Simpson. I think the parade for the Rangers,
that's right,
was Sharks happening.
Parade gonna happen.
In New York, the NBA finals were happening.
Yeah,
being interrupted by the Bronco chase.
King Griffey Jr. hit. I can't remember the home run, but he was like, it was something stupid. Like at the time, on pace to hit like 70 home runs, it hit like 31 or something.
It's funny, like being in Seattle, you know, at that game. Katie asked me, like, is there like. Are there baseball players known like LeBron and Steph? I was like, yeah, but there's probably only two, and it's Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani, at least like on that level. And she goes like, why is there only two? And it came got into this discussion where it's like, I pointed, I was like, well, Ken Griffey Jr. was a massive star, but he was a star when there were stars in baseball. And I had this realization that it feels like baseball grew up with Ken Griffey Jr. And then never got younger. Like, you know what I mean? Like there was never like Griffey was it. Oh, by the way, no one else is going to find this funny. Joey Bart plays for the Pirates.
Oh, shout out Joey Bart.
Gosh.
That's right.
Guys, Joey Bart's getting called up. How are we going to handle this? How are we going to handle this, guys?
I had a moment where we're talking and I looked up at the screen and I'm like, no effing way. You got to be kidding. It's Joey Bart.
There was a time where Joey Bart was... First segment stuff on D'Lo and KC,
and I didn't take it as far as Danny in San Francisco, but it was a moment.
Oh, it was a moment.
It was like, oh snap, Joey Barr. Oh snap, next Buster Posey. Oh, this is crazy.
Oh, so funny.
And then Joey our morning Barr. Show calls turned into just Danny and Kenny talking 49ers and me and D'Lo sit silent for the last 15 minutes,
just sitting there, just sitting there wanting this to end.
Either that or arguing about Draymond.
Oh my god. But the point was, sorry, I got sidetracked. Baseball like grew up with, there was never a phenom again like Ken Griffey Jr. Maybe Shohei is the closest, but like Griffey was, he's different for a couple of reasons. He's American and like it is what it is. And yo, he was a baby. Bro was like 18.
Right.
And, you know, he had the lineage, obviously, of his father. But, like, there was, I mean, they launched a whole baseball card series off of that Ken Griffey Jr. card.
Right. Right.
I wanted that card so bad when I was a kid. You know, and then you had the backwards hat and this just this extra flair to him. I don't know that baseball's ever had that again.
I'm trying to think right now of... The last guy to debut like that, I don't think in recent memory anybody has. The ones that come to mind are
Bryce Harper was
Bryce.
Oh, Harper Bryce time. Is a good one. Yeah, Bryce, that's
Bryce
a good
was
one.
Big time.
That's
Tatis
a good one.
Was big time. And
was Tatis as big as Bryce? Bryce was. I wanted to mention Tatis as one of the big stars. But I do feel like he's a
Bryce. Yeah, because you knew about Bryce Harper in high school. Like when
yeah,
he was in high
yeah.
school. Like
I mean,
was
he
like
got
the
chosen
like, he was,
one.
He was LeBron, yeah.
He got the chosen one SI cover.
That's the difference with him and Tatis. Tatis, by the time he got to like the minor leagues, people were like, oh my gosh, this guy is the next great one. But he was already a professional at that point. When Bryce was, like you said, in high school, an amateur, we were like, no, this is the next
Polo L and Soren bring up an interesting one. What about, I don't know how big he became like outside of baseball. Steven Strasburg was like a moment too when
he was
coming
time.
Out of San Diego State.
He was
oh
big
yeah,
time.
I remember. Yeah.
He was big
yeah.
time.
I don't know if that was just like a baseball thing or like, I don't think it was as big as Bryce Harper.
It was a big deal.
Has anyone lived up to it? I mean, Bryce is really good. Has anyone lived up to it as good as Ken Griffey Jr. did?
I mean, Shohei's not as young, but Shohei was the dude coming
oh, yeah,
in.
Yeah, like a Ohtani.
I mean, yeah, he's
for sure.
Everything.
Yeah, for sure.
I'd say Bryce is on par.
Okay.
Bryce on par, MVP. I think he's got one in his career. In contention, maybe a little less than handful than another. But yeah, he's on par.
He was a really big star. Are Judge and Ohtani bigger stars than what he was?
Than Griffey?
No, not Griffey, Harper.
Oh, yeah, I think so. I think both of them are. Baseball, and I'm a little jaded because I'm in the culture right now with a 12-year-old who plays baseball. But baseball is having a little bit – it's a weird time because it is having a little bit of a rebirth or renaissance. Mm. There is a world of baseball that is, like, really, really cool, really stylish. It's got aura, all this other stuff. As Sarah would say, it's got motion. Like, these kids, they got all their gear. Like, it's really, really cool. You've got Manfred and everything he does. But, you know, you look at the guys like Tatis, like Acuna, like Dela Cruz. Like, those guys are everything that we say baseball needs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they are right there. And the kids that play baseball gravitate towards them. Here's the difference, though. You didn't have to play baseball to gravitate towards Ken Griffey Jr.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't transcended into that yet. Ohtani's got a little bit of that, but they haven't transcended into, you know, people who are your everyday sports watcher or I play basketball, but I want to be like Ken Griffey Jr. because he's cool.
They threw the Tigers on Sunday Night Baseball, I think, last weekend or a weekend before that. I think for like Sunday Night Baseball, and it was like Tigers versus Twins. Like, it did numbers as well. And then the ESPN and the MLB are back to the table again negotiating.
Yeah, they are. Baseball kind of cooking, man.
Yeah, they are. That's correct.
And it's gone down. They've gotten involved in the whole travel ball, AAU, overtime type circuit. They've got their way with that. Like, baseball kind of cooking right now.
Going back to what D'Lo was saying, too, it's not as extreme, I think, but like now we know a little bit who the younger guys are coming up to.
Mm-hmm.
Like Kansas City Royals, they got like this Castiglione guy or something like that you kind of knew about before he got called up. So when he was around, like, all right, I know who this is.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, man, but a live baseball game is just so insanely enjoyable.
It is,
for me, 10 times better than watching it on television. Like, it's not even comparable. Mm-hmm. It is so enjoyable being at a baseball park.
Vibes are great at a live game. Fantastic.
Especially when you sit next to Logan Webb like KC did.
See, because there's somebody that might be just,
hey, Logan,
like, turned on
the radio.
Throw
the curveball.
Was
that you?
You got it, Kenny. He throws the curveball and goes to the All-Star team.
Logan Webb
gave Kenny the wink like that cat, like Cat did that one time before that playoff game.
Oh, yeah.
Still don't think he was winking at anyone.
Cat,
who are you looking at?
You know who's one of my favorite Giants right now? Like, maybe not of all time, but I love him. My boy, Willie Adames.
Yeah.
He is a leader. He talks a lot, you know, encouraging. Like, he is everything. I wish my son was at that game with me, because I'd be like, just watch him.
You didn't
watch
take him, huh?
No. There was moves made, but not that many moves made.
Can I go, Dan?
Beat it, kid.
Not that many moves made. I'm trying to go this week.
I think you need a shirt that says "Beat it, kid." That's your trademark.
That is the saying. I'm trying to go this week, man, because Acuna is going to be out here. That's his boy. Mm-hmm. He likes to run Acuna.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to go this week. We'll see what happens.
He's been tearing it up since he came back from his injury.
Come on, man.
He's another one of those.
If he hadn't gotten hurt, he got hurt twice, I think.
Yeah.
Tore his ACL twice. He's one of the new school.
You heard it here first on D'Lo and KC. Baseball's back.
Baseball's back. D'Lo getting season tickets.
Hey. If I had seats like I had the other night, I might.
Dane was just texting in the group message, yeah, I really feel bad for these fans and their playoff drought. It's really tough.
Okay, wait, that didn't happen. Oh, hold on. Wait a damn second.
I just really feel for these Mariners fans. It's almost like I've been here.
Well, salute to them. The Mariners were trying to get Jonathan Kuminga too. Wasn't working out for anybody.
Even the Mariners were like, no, Warriors, we're not giving you that.
No, you cannot have a first-round pick for him. Sorry. Have you been following the Valanciunas situation?
Yes. Well, you want to talk about cooking. Monty, or not Monty, Scott.
Might have known.
Yeah. Hey, you guys can have him if you want, you know. Boy, Scott Loki is cooking.
The exit side. Meeting, Valanciunas was like, man, I'm not coming back. I'm going to Greece.
Bro, if it was the other side, they would have attached 2 second-round picks to him.
Oh, yeah. They would have.
He doesn't want to play anymore. That. Do you want these picks? Mm.
That's a crazy situation.
Oh, man.
That's a crazy situation.
It's weird, as there were reports last week that said Valanciunas was considering going to play for one of the Greek teams. And Shams tweeted, I think that was today. Oh, it was yesterday. I'm sorry. Denver has informed Jonas Valanciunas' rep that the franchise fully intends to have him honor his contract as the Nuggets view him as a critical center. How can you do that? Like, how can he, like, Valanciunas can't just go, no, like, I quit. I'm leaving. Like, I don't know if this Greek team has some ties to the NBA, or like, does an NBA contract say you can't play basketball anywhere else in the world? Mm. I mean, yeah, maybe it does.
Yeah.
Maybe it does. This is the first time ever hearing of it. So, well, maybe it does.
Did the Raptors have to let Sasha out of his deal, or did he just say, I'm going to forego my money and I'm going back home?
He did forego his money.
But he made that decision.
Yeah, I don't know what role Toronto played in it, but I know he left the money on the table. He got it all back. He got it all back when he signed.
Kind of sounds like Valanciunas wants to go home or whatever. Not home, but over to Europe and all that. And the Nuggets like, yeah, we need a center, though, so you can keep the $5 million and show up when we need you at training camp. Like, we don't want that $5 million. You can keep that and come play center.
Yeah, I'd be curious how that works.
Because I'd imagine you can't just be like, yeah, I don't want the money.
I've never seen an NBA contract. I don't know if it says, no, you can't play basketball anywhere else in the world if you're under contract to an NBA team.
I'm pretty the way this is playing out, I guess it does. Right? Like, if Denver...
Yeah, if they say they plan on...
Honor your contract.
Otherwise, how could you force him to honor it?
Right. Wow. Well, look.
Their problem now.
Yeah, I was just about to say. Well, that ain't nothing we got to deal with anymore. Yeah.
Trade went through, facts went through, whatever.
This dude Scott knew Valanciunas did not want to play.
Well, why did he do that?
Hold on, JV. Don't say nothing yet. Don't say nothing.
Oh, man.
Let's try something first.
Well, shout out Scott Perry, man. Maybe TCU's on to something. He is cooking.
Landed Dario Saric.
Warriors better take him while they can.
Think about it. You flip Valanciunas, the guy who doesn't want to play, for a guy who doesn't play, and turn that into Jonathan Kuminga.
Somebody said it earlier in the chat with this Kuminga holdup situation. I always keep saying Monty. Scott Perry.
Mm-hmm. You're a big Monty McNair fan. Everybody knows.
Well, no. But Scott Perry, to a certain degree, he can wait. It feels like he can wait as long as he needs to for this. Because it's not like, it doesn't feel like the Kings have other moves outside of this and just finalizing the Schroeder deal that is hindering them. Because this move is hindering them from making other moves, like the Warriors, for instance. The Warriors seemingly can't go get Al Horford or be in a sweepstakes for anybody else because they're trying to figure out what's going on with Kuminga. Scott Perry is like, to a certain degree, our offseason's kind of over. Like,
is it? Like, what are you doing with Monk?
By all outward appearances, nothing.
They're not pressed to move him, though. They made...
But they have a problem. Like, if roster construction was a problem last year, it feels like a bigger problem this year.
I agree. But it's more, I think it's more of the back end of the roster.
Okay.
Like you're talking about bench guys. Now, they still need a wing. They're still maybe playing Keegan out of place in some people's opinion. So they still need to fix that. But it's Monk, Carter,
and is Sarge really Domas' backup?
No, Maxine.
Oh, you think he is?
I think so.
You think? Okay.
Wait. Oh, okay.
The Stanford kid? Yeah. The second round pick?
Yeah, I don't think Sarge should be seeing minutes. At least the rest of the league feels that way, too.
Yeah, I get it. It's just like, man, you going to march the 42nd pick out there.
And back up, yeah.
Okay. Oh, he's 7'1".
Yeah.
And I guess he can shoot. He doesn't play defense from what...
He can shoot with his left hand.
He doesn't play defense from what we hear, so he'll fit right in.
Actually mentioned it. Drew Eubanks is there, too.
Ah, that's right. Forgot about that.
So, yeah, Sarge ain't playing.
Priority Sports tweeted about... Dennis Schroeder yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know why the Kings haven't said anything. He even got the Kings on his on his IG page.
Yeah.
Man. Okay.
Yeah, man.
It's funny. His last tweet was, yes, 100, see y'all in Detroit. And then next tweet is the picture of him in a Kings uniform. Man, the game's tough.
A crazy game. This market is crazy, man.
We'll come back, man. We got more NBA basketball to talk about. There was a 3-team trade today. There was a 7-team trade announced. There's so much happening in the league that's a bit head-scratching. And I've got a question regarding the top of the Western Conference for you. We'll dive into that. It's D'Lo and KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. No James Hamm today. Forgot that on the way in. James is out there on vacation and so we're going to talk NBA basketball amongst ourselves here as the day progresses. Obviously, there's absolutely no news on Jonathan Kuminga and the Sacramento Kings, or no news on Jonathan Kuminga or anybody. And the fact is, there's been so much disjointed reporting on this situation that you kind of just have to make a decision to choose to believe whatever you want to believe. I noticed some funny things on social media as the day progresses. I think there are some people who aren't really involved in the process. I think there's some people who aren't really reporters who want to pretend that they're reporters. And so they take bits and pieces of what people like Matt George are saying, or what people like James Hamm are saying, and they put it out there with like a slight little twist, as if this is something that they just learned from one of their sources on their own. And the fact is, the people who were being told about this deal crossed multiple states in multiple different walks of life. Carmichael Dave, Anthony Slater, and to a degree, Sam Amick. Sam Amick just kind of co-signed what Anthony Slater said. Said, nah, there's really no traction on this. That fly, I mean, if there's no traction, a lot of people knew about this. And I mean, Bonte tweeted this. Bonte said there's no traction. But again, if that's true, and I trust all four of those people, man, there were a lot of people who knew some pretty specific information about this deal. We don't have to go too far into it. You got something as recently as yesterday.
Yeah.
And it's like, and I had heard, and I don't know if I told you this in the group chat, there was, I heard something resembling what you heard. Mm-hmm. And it made me think, like, all right, I can figure out where some of this stuff is coming from. But that only covers a few bases. Right. There's a lot of bases to cover regarding how this Jonathan Kuminga thing was covered.
Right.
But the fact is, here on the 7th of July, he's not a King. Will he be a King moving forward? I have no idea. Will he be a member of the Golden State Warriors moving forward? I have no idea. It is quiet around the league right now. You're getting announcements of trades, and obviously there was a deal today. Clippers, Jazz, and Heat, they completed a 3-team trade that sent Norm Powell to Miami, John Collins to the Clippers, and Kevin Love and Kyle Anderson to the Jazz. I don't know what the Jazz are doing, but like whatever. They move off that John Collins money. I'm sure they're thrilled. And Norm Powell headed to Miami. Maybe Miami feels like, hey, we did something. It's like they're always trying and always failing. Oh, all right, you guys did something. Salute.
I like Norm Powell, obviously, so as a basketball player, but Tyler Hero's there. I'm not even getting into a discussion on who's better or not, but just you've got somebody that occupies that position. Do you look at him as a bench guy? He was pretty good last year when he was able to start for the Clippers. So I'm not sure what's going on there as far for Miami. Utah, to your point, I have no clue what the hell is going on there. I mean, yeah, you're trying to gain assets. You're doing that whole thing, but
Austin Ainge might have to take Danny out to pasture. Should call it what it is.
I mean, this is just horrible asset management, it seems like. You know, from Lauri Markkanen having him there, Ace Bailey situation. It's just this trade. I'm not sure what they're doing in Utah. They haven't even been able to, it feels like, pick a direction. Like, say, this is what we're doing. They're just mismanaged, it feels like. Like, are we tanking? Are we trying to get A.J. DeMonsta? After a year after we tried to get Cooper Flagg, were we trying to get them both at some point? Like, what are we doing?
I mean, at some point, I mean, I don't know. Maybe you don't pick a different strategy. Maybe you just double down on the same strategy and hope it works. Like, they're useless. What is that? Like, again, and we don't have to rehash this. But this is like tanking going wrong. They, like, think back to when the greatest team that ever lived was formed in 2008. The Celtics, they thought they was getting Durant or Odin. But what did they do? Didn't. And quickly, immediately pivoted when, what they have, the fourth pick? That draft? I think it was the fourth. They immediately pivoted. And pulled off the Kevin Durant deal. Or Kevin Garnett, sorry. The Kevin Garnett deal.
And won the greatest championship in the history of championships.
In history. It's facts.
35 has never lost a seven-game series.
Won't stop talking about it. Utah was all in on Cooper Flagg when they didn't get him or anything close to him. They didn't have a pivot move. They're just sitting here like, oh, I don't know. I guess we just keep losing. I don't know what to do. Like, there's no guarantee you're going to land a number one pick, a number two pick. There's no guarantee you're going to land a pick that you even like when you put out a bad product. And maybe in Utah, they don't care if you put out a bad product.
That team
stinks.
That's the difference that I've said a number of different times with, like, Oklahoma City, Utah, all these guys that tank, is those cities don't really care that much. Like, if you don't win, it's whatever. I was watching it as OKC was being bad. They didn't really care. They just didn't show up. It's whatever. Same with Utah. That's not the case here in Sacramento. Like, we want to see good basketball. As much as people said they'd be down for the tank, I don't think you would. I don't think you'd really want that. You want them to be better. I understand that. I don't think you really want what a tank looks
like. But making it, like, what if you go in, you're 2 years in, and it's not working? You're not accomplishing what you set out to do. Like, this makes the Lauri Markkanen thing look that much more ridiculous. Like, his contract's going to be over before. You might just suck, and his contract's going to near be ending.
You know what it reminds me of? One time, I had a PlayStation 1. And they had the thing where you could put the chip in the PlayStation 1 and you could play ripped CDs there, right?
Yeah.
And somebody's like, nah, it's actually pretty easy. Here, I'm going to give you the step-by-step instructions of how to do this. And I'm following the instructions. I'm taking everything apart and doing whatever. And halfway through, I was like, this part won't go back in here. I've broken the PlayStation. It's broke. That's what a tank could be 2 years in. Like, oh, if you just follow this, this is how you get better. And then 3 years in, we picked the wrong guy. This thing is broke. I don't know what we do now. Kenny, everybody getting fired.
Kenny, Utah jazzed his PlayStation. Man.
So, I mean, that you laid it out. That's exactly how it could happen. Like, you think, like, yeah, tank, it's just so simple. What if you picked the wrong guy? What if you picked the wrong guy for two straight years? Now you're just be bad for 3 years. It's turned into just be bad for 7 years. And you're still chasing. So, but we don't need to rehash that. Like, everybody can have their own opinion on that. The Utah Jazz, I felt like, I guess I'm just wrong. I felt like they had like a Oklahoma City Thunder, like treasure trove of picks.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm looking at this right, it's not really that. Like, they got their own picks. In 31, they have Phoenix's pick. Outside of that, it's like 2027. Two most favorable of Utah, Cleveland, and Minnesota. Then other to Phoenix. They got a Lakers top five protected pick. I guess they got some of them. But I was thinking to see, like, remember one time we thought Utah and OKC had, like, all the picks in the first round?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it felt like. But just looking at this, maybe not. So I don't – once again, I'm not sure.
Did OKC in Houston? I feel like it was OKC and someone else.
It was Utah. Like, Utah was collecting them, but just looking at it right here, I guess they got a few, but it's not like OKC. Nobody's
Well, nothing is like OKC. It's like nothing. Yeah. Absolutely.
San Antonio's
nothing.
Another one who had a lot of first round picks.
Yeah. Hmm. Bradley Beal is headed towards a buyout with Phoenix. I'm fascinated to know what that looks like, because the buyout should be every single dollar he's owed. Mm. Look. We talked a lot about leverage today. Mm-hmm. We talked about, you know, the Kings, their stake in Kuminga, the Warriors, their lack of stake in Kuminga, what the market looks like, all of these different things. If I'm Bradley Beal's agent, this is simple. I don't want to be here. That's fine. But I'm perfectly content being here. You desperately want me out of here. Mm-hmm. The remaining dollar figure on my contract, I don't know what it is I'm making up, is $104 million. We will leave for $104 million. And if you want to negotiate, that's fine. We can leave for $103 million. But if you think this is going to be some grandstand negotiation where we hug each other on the way out, no. You have made it publicly and privately clear you don't want my client here. Pay him to leave. The Bucks did. Different. But essentially, the Bucks paid Dame Lillard to leave. You will pay my client to leave.